love you girls.
I mean, yeah. I love you.
Y'all love y'all too.
I don't know if Jerry loves me.
So we just kind of want to give you guys a little disclaimer on the front end. We had our first guest podcast interviewee. I don't know what the term is. Do you guys know?
First guest of the podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant to say. We had the first guest of the podcast, which is my friend, Philip Lucia.
My friend, too.
Yeah, now he's...
We're BFFs.
He's all of our friends. But the disclaimer is... We are not audio technicians, and we are learning this as we go. So the volume on this particular interview is a little bit quieter than normal, so just turn up your volume a bit, because he's got really good things to say, and we don't want you to miss anything. So we have part one of two parts coming.
Part one of two parts.
Now.
So that means
part one of the first part.
Part two, if part we two don't have the second this, part. Remember the audio conversation we're having right now.
Please remember this for part two coming next.
Next.
Okay. Let's do this thing, guys. Hi, welcome to Blessed Singleness. Why did I just forget the name of our podcast?
Well, we've gone through some changes, so...
We have.
Yeah,
that's
but,
true.
But we've settled on Blessed Singleness, and we hope that you guys are okay with that.
I'm Charity.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Meredith.
And we have a special guest with us here today. We have brought Philip Lucia in to talk with us. And Philip and I actually served together, I can't talk, for 2 or 3 years it was, at our churches, in the leadership team for our church's single community.
Yes.
So I've gotten to know his heart and seen him loving and ministering to a lot of guys over the years. And I'm just really excited to have him be a part of our podcast.
I'm excited to be here. Yay. Thanks for having me.
This is our theme song. I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh,
okay. Hit it. Right? This is our theme song. Well, bless.
You're so talented.
Yes.
It really is an honor to be here with you ladies. So yeah, I'm excited to see what we have to say.
What comes out. Well, Philip, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Father, I just thank you for this time that we have to come together and to just fellowship and just share our hearts with each other. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be here with us and that you would just fill every word that we have, Father, that you would just speak to your children, Father, through this. And Lord, I just pray that you would cover us. This is can be a very sensitive topic, so I just pray that you would just allow whomever hears this to just hear it from a place of love and compassion, Father, that we're just pouring out on your children. And we just hope that this would energize the single community. And we just thank you and we praise you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good praying.
So, I guess to kind of recap or to go over what we're doing, it's a conversation about the church and singleness and how maybe the church can better handle, we got to figure out a better word for that, but handle the single community. And so, we've gone through a couple of episodes of what we think could change, what our experience has been, both positive and negative. And so, I think with Philip being a new guest or, you know, a new person on the show, that we kind of want to address the original question because it's a discussion and we want to kind of get everybody's perspective as to what their personal, what's the word? Experience has been. Almost really good with words.
The best.
So, we want to kind of basically go back to our original question and ask Philip that question and see what his perspective is and kind of maybe expound on that a little bit.
And so that question, Philip, is how has the church affected, influenced your view on being single?
I would say the church has played a huge role in that. As you said before, there have been positives and negatives, or, you know, when you say negative, it can sometimes be sound a little bit heavier than what you're really like thinking about it. But definitely, I'll just say this. So I grew up in the church, and to see strong couples, you know, some of them were starting out in their early 20s, and my youth pastor had 3 kids by the time he was 21. Ooh, and the,
wow.
You know,
and the, whoa.
Like,
they got, I mean, whoa. I mean, that's like singing him.
They got started early. But they were such a healthy couple. And I believe now he's got a successful ministry as a pastor over a church. And just to see that really established, you know, that foundation of what it might look like in the future to mm-hmm. have a family. So because I had that, even after, so when I was about 18, you know, kind of had a falling away from the Lord, as a lot of us do. And so I spent 6 years just really focusing on myself, you know, in the career that I was in. And I was one of those guys. So originally I was one of those guys that was ready to find a relationship early in life mm-hmm. and go ahead and start a family. And then as I stepped into that career and I wasn't walking in the foundation that was established for me, I found myself turning into that guy. I was like, oh, I can be a guy and be 40 and have a kid and find the person then. And for now, I'll just work on my career and money. And so, yeah, but at the age of 26, I believe it was, when I gave my life back to the Lord, I realized it didn't take very long for God, you know, Jesus and his love to really stir up that passion to want to have a family again. And so it went from 40 to, Lord, bring it around right now. I'm ready. I'm good to go. You know, where is she? You know? And it was a good feeling to have because I realized where that had gone dormant when I wasn't walking mm-hmm. with the Lord. And it's just awesome how, you know, God promises to restore, and that's exactly what he did. Mm-hmm. Whether it was a desire for a relationship or whether it was things that he had told me when I was younger that I would possibly, that I would be doing as an older man, those things began to resurface and reemerge and began to grow. So that was a huge part to answer your question of that. And then I would say as a mature Christian, coming back to the Lord, growing in the Lord, then going into leadership, I just really, you find strength in walking with your fellow single leaders and community. Like, you have somebody to lean on. Yep. You, mm-hmm. you know, there are still singles that even within community, because it's such a strong topic, they struggle with depression and just wanting it so bad to find somebody that it kind of pulls them off track a little bit. So if you have that community to lean on, it's just so valuable, you know, and that's what God's called us to be the body of Christ, to lean on each other, to love on each other, to fill in that gap. You know, I don't necessarily see it so much as a void as I do just that kind of place that God in that moment has other people there with you to fill it. So yeah, I think that's a big portion of it. And then there's the other flip side, you know, the not so negative, you know, when you do see other couples and they're moving forward, you think, oh God, you know, I'm not going to be able to fully walk into what you have for me until I find that other person.
Yeah.
And that is a huge battle that we have is seeing other successful couples. And, oh, and I had somebody tell me, oh, Philip, once you get married, there's so much favor that's going to come on your marriage. And I 100% believe that, that there is a favor that comes on you in the unity. But I truly believe it's a different favor that God pours in at that time mm-hmm. because he's promised, like, if you're surrendered to my son, Jesus, like, you have my favor mm-hmm. and I will just make you successful at whatever you put your hand to mm-hmm. as long as you're walking with me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's a battle to see other successful couples and just trying to bring it back to remembering that God does have specific things mm-hmm. for us to do. Singleness.
And then I thought that would bring up the point that you said that you feel like that you're, you know, ready now. And for me, that's also one of those struggles, especially when you see people that are in successful relationships and you're like, ready,
Been ready for 5 years.
Yeah, you know, and years. So and that's a really big struggle to because we talked about the sin of comparison, and that's such a trap that Satan
so good.
Sucks us into, you know, because it's like, oh, well, God's favor isn't on you. It's on them, or he's withholding something from you.
Absolutely. We just, I was in a Bible study this morning, and that was the message.
Really?
It was comparison, like, kind of the pastor put it as, like, putting on a general's glove. Like, you basically take a leader that you see that's successful, and maybe for us, maybe it's a couple you see that's successful, and you try and place that person's responsibilities on you because you know it worked for them.
Mm.
But the pastor talked about how we each have an individual fingerprint that we're supposed to put on everything that we have in life.
Hmm. That's good.
And I was like, I'm so thankful for this Bible study.
Yes.
It's at 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm so thankful for it.
I'm glad there's people like you that praise Jesus in the morning.
Jerry's not one of them.
That is a proverb. We're going to go there again. Uh-oh. That's a proverb. A good, oh man.
What's the general? Maybe, is it in Ecclesiastes again?
No, it's Proverbs. A good, loud, joyful greeting in the morning is, hold on, y'all, he's talking.
Yeah. Beautiful.
But, yeah, just edit this part out.
Oh no, you're good. You're good.
Life is uneditable, we said.
So yeah, just going back to where if you can't put your fingerprint on something if you're trying to wear somebody else's glove, you know?
That's such a
good point. Ooh, that's so good.
So yeah. It was an awesome morning, and I just love how it connects into what you're bringing up now. Yeah. God's good like that.
Yes, he is.
Is it okay if I ask how old you are? Because you said you got this in back into your heart at 26.
26. So 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. I just turned 34 last week, so...
It was just your birthday. Happy birthday.
Good. I'm still the youngest one here.
My gosh, Jerry.
Thank you, thank you. And you know what? You hit those kind of decade marks of 30, and then you think, oh, 30. That's going to be the mark. That's going to be here. And you're like, okay, well, 30. I'll take 31. 32.
Was wondering.
I'm glad you asked because I was gonna ask too, just to see if you were, you know, if you had been where we've been, you know, in that.
I'm right there with you, and it was so. Yes, I've endured that discouragement period because you said, "God, my heart was ready when I was 26."
Yeah,
and I'm still here, you know. Mm-hmm. And you just have to push past those lies of the enemy, and. Y'all have talked about this, and just knowing that you have to embrace your singleness because God has stuff for you to do in your singleness that you can't do when you're attached to somebody else or kids. Like, you can't just pick up your passport, go to a country when God tells you if you're with somebody without running it by them first.
Right.
You can't, you know.
Mm-hmm. And how many times have I done
that? I mean, God, please don't call me to go to another
country. Every other day, it's like, okay.
Oh, God. You got me worried I'm going to be convicted.
Don't send me anywhere.
I mean, Lord, I'll follow where you send me. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, will they be there, Lord?
Exactly.
Am I going to miss them if I go? Missionary trip turns into, is it going to be a missionary dating trip?
I never thought about it like that.
Next year's going to be out of the country.
I will be flat all over the world.
Yeah, what if?
what if nothing? I did find my scripture, by the way.
Oh, what did you find?
A loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse. That's Proverbs.
Nice.
That wasn't encouraging.
Is that like heaping coals on someone's head?
I was just saying, I'm glad that he loves early in the morning because it's also biblical to not be okay with early in the morning. I just wanted to throw that.
That is pretty incredible that you just back that up with scripture, that you're a morning person.
You know, I just want to, it's not necessarily a single topic, but it's just good scripture learning.
Apparently it's truth, so.
I'm sure plenty of people will be able to cling to that one.
Oh, no.
Good
Philip, how do you keep yourself encouraged as you see year after year going by when you say you are ready at 26 to be married and start a family?
Ooh, good question.
Well, and I will say real quick.
So many of those moments.
what I find interesting, I don't know if we ever use this word that I don't love the word, but I think it's a good descriptor, is depression. You know, I think we kind of go, we get a little disheartened, we get a little sad, we get a little upset. But I mean, there is a depression that comes with it. So trying to even fight out of that, like that's heavy.
I think it was it you, Meredith, that shared about seeing a couple and kids, or was it just a couple?
That was you.
Or was it a wedding, or where it was twins.
Yes.
You saw twins, you walked away from it, and you cried.
I did.
I kid you not, Valentine's Day, I was sitting single in a pizzeria. I got that craving for pizza, and I was sitting there, and a couple comes in. They have twins, and they also have one additional child, an older sister, but there were two twin boys. And on my way out, I was just like feeling like I was supposed to compliment. I said, y'all have a beautiful family. And they were like kind of insecure about their twins because their twins were like, you know, making noise and all this stuff. Meanwhile, I was just like, oh man, kids are awesome. You know, I complimented them. I walked away. I went to my car. I cried. Mm-hmm. I kid you not. Like it just hit me out of nowhere. And I'm like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And, but yeah. God has placed that desire within us for family. It's just embracing it. And I think that's one of those moments that you were asking about. How do you encourage yourself?
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to hit those moments where out of nowhere, you're just like, oh, God. Like,
I'm overwhelmed right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, wow, give me a chance to catch my breath on that one. but yeah, it always comes back to going to the Word, you know, finding those key scriptures that really support you. I wish I had something on memory data bank for you.
Sure.
I don't have it on the top of my mind, but I just know that, you know, as you're going through the Word, what it is, it's not, Lord, I'm depressed, I need to find a scripture, so much as it is, if you're already spending time in the Word, God knows your heart, and He's going to lead you to those scriptures without you even looking for them. And you'll be reading something, and you'll be like, right there, Lord, that's it. Mm. Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. Yeah, He's awesome. He loves His children, and He takes care of us.
He does. He does, doesn't He? Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Well, and what I love, too, is that He is an ever-pursuing God, and He will use moments like that when you feel like you're at your lowest. Like, what I loved about that moment with my friend who had twins was I was so overjoyed and so heartbroken at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. And God showed me that's a beautiful dance that He, you know, takes us in our love relationship with Him.
Yeah.
To say that, you know, and it was a moment to where He said to my heart, I know it hurts. Mm-hmm. But He also just encouraged me so much, too, because one of the things, and we've talked about this before, is just that fear of becoming bitter and, you know, really soured on it and That's rolling true. Your eyes at what people, at the blessings that others have. And so to see God work that out in me and to show me that you don't have to give in to that bitterness. Mm-hmm. You can have both things. Mm-hmm. You can be heartbroken and full of joy at the same time.
Yes.
For others.
Yes, absolutely. It's so good.
Something that hit me this week, too, is I've realized that, I mean, all of us have different struggles, no matter whether we're single, married, having kids, widow, whatever the case is, we do have struggles. But for me in particular, these years and years and years of being single have forced me to lean into my God unlike I ever would have if I had been had somebody to lean on.
Yes.
So while it's been a hard journey, it's a beautiful one because
Agreed.
I've come to know Him in such an intimate way that I don't know that I would have if He had provided me a husband right out of college or right when I moved to Nashville or any of these other times when I thought I was ready and for a husband, you know what I mean?
No, that's exactly what it is because, you know, going back from that 26 to 27,
yeah.
every year that passed by, I just say, thank you, God, that it didn't happen already, because I see the things that you've been working out in me that would have probably produced an unhealthy relationship. And so I think that kind of also relates to your encouragement. Mm-hmm. When you can just take time every year, every 6 months, however many times, whether it's daily.
Right.
You know what, God? You worked this out of me, and now my marriage is not going to have to put up with it.
Yes,
you know?
Amen.
So
that's something that one of that my other best friend that I try not to mention on this podcast, because
that's fine, whatever. She's going to be here eventually.
She's going to be one of our guests coming up soon. But that's something she encourages me with often, because she got married very young, and they had to grow up together being married, and they've had so many extra struggles that that she keeps saying, Charity, your story is going to be so different because God has been refining you and working on you all these years, and you're not going to carry any of this into your marriage that we have had to work through, which has been an incredible encouragement to me. And she's had to remind me of that often, but you know, it's true.
One, I honestly think this is probably a revelation that just hit as we're talking. Mm-hmm. The older we get, still single, given that we're walking in the Lord, and given that he's refining all of those things, once we do get to that point where we meet the person, because God has already been refining us so much in our singleness, and because we're going to be so ready once we get to that point, you know, encouragement to the ladies, hopefully if the man is where he's supposed to be, I truly believe that if God has ironed out the woman and ironed out the man, that engagement process is going to be that much shorter.
So, yes.
Is that not something to look forward to?
That is very much something to look forward to.
I've seen my sisters in Christ like being like, we've been engaged for, you know, and but honestly, when a man is confident in himself and in who his future wife is to be, that I truly believe that a man's going to like jump on and be like, we're ready. Let's go.
Let's do this.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Love that. That is encouraging.
Yes, it is.
Well, and I think what's interesting in listening to this, I don't know in my mind if I've always thought that guys go through a different process, but, you know, I mean, granted, you're the first guest, well, your first guest we've had, but the first male guest that we've had, and it just seems like it's such the same feeling. It's the same thought. It's the same struggles that women have. And I guess in my mind I was like, oh, guys are just like, it's okay, I'll figure out what's gonna happen later. But I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's a desire to search for a companion, you know.
Well, I did mention to Charity before that men, we're just like women, can be so different from the next woman beside them. Men are the same way. You're talking to somebody that's been wrapped up in ministry. Again, God took me from wanting to be married at 40 to wanting to be married right away. And that's just something that happened. I've seen it in multiple men where we go from not being ready to get married to, as soon as we give our life over to Jesus, as soon as we experience the love of Jesus in our hearts, we desire to give that love back. And we usually want to give it to somebody specific, you know? And so, yeah, with that being said, I'm going to say that a lot. With that being said.
It makes it you sound very, you know, I know what I'm talking about.
And it, so as he transforms our heart, then that's going to produce a different man. Then the man that is focused on career or just wants to play the field, wants to not be involved in a relationship, God completely will change a man's heart. I'm a testimony of that. So,
well, and I think that's encouraging too, just to know. And this is very, I feel like this is going to sound bad any way that I say it.
Just try it. We'll see.
Yeah. Just blurt it out.
That's how we work our band.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm just so encouraged to know that they're, because I think it gets to a point to where you feel like an outsider. Like, are there men that still seek someone like me? Mm-hmm. Someone who's pursuing the things of God? You know, someone that will... And I know that there are, but when you've experienced a letdown, you know, and it's just like, wow, not what I thought. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just... So, I think that I need to be reminded of that often, of that that is what God intends.
Absolutely.
And that that's what I should always seek. And I mean, I certainly feel like that I have high standards, but when you're alone and you feel that tug of, oh my gosh, just to have companionship would be enough right now, even though I know it's not, it is such a good reminder, that, you know, that those are, that that's what I need to always keep in the peripheral of who's running alongside me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, after Christ.
Mm-hmm. Going off of that, so back in October, I was talking with Charity, and I was speaking on how I truly feel like there are, well, one, the population of women in the church is so, you know, so much higher than the population of men, let alone a population of men that are truly walking out what it looks like to be a Christian. And that is one of the reasons why I lead a men's group right now, is because I desire to see us as men step up and grow. I believe that there is, and there has been, probably for, we're talking about 50, 60, 70, you know, years, basically going back to, you know how we all see those older relationships, and they're, you know, even though they've had rocky, it's been imperfect, they still have that value of what it means to love a person till the day you die, regardless of the circumstances. And I think if you can go back to when that started to deteriorate in marriage, a generational curse began to start. And for those listeners that don't, you hear generational curse, what's that? So basically, there are things that we have in our lives that we can actually have passed down to us from our parents, from our grandparents. There are places in the Bible that specifically talk about the sins of this father, the sins of this man will be passed down to up to four generations. I'm not talking about things that are just supernatural, like everything is supernatural, but you can actually look, say, for alcoholism. Alcoholism is something that's medically proven. It's going to be passed down, and you have to be aware of it and put it in check. Also, even sex drive or abuse, all of those things have been medically proven that they get passed down. And that's because when we partake in a sin, it kind of goes into our DNA. Mm. And it tampers with what God created. And so, bringing that back to the generational curse, men have not been brought up to know what it means to pursue a woman. And I think that right now, there's a high number of women that have given themselves over to the Lord and are walking the Lord, are getting ready for marriage, but it's a much lower rate for the men. And I feel like it's a kind of a back and forth. Well, there's the women that had the standards but didn't find those men, kind of were like, okay, well, God, I guess this is just what I'm gonna have to, I say settle for, but it might just even be a few areas of life where they make an exception. You know, it might not be a big thing, but even certain areas of exceptions they were making, where if they had just allowed God to work on the man a little bit more, maybe he would have rise to the occasion in those areas. So yeah, so I truly want to see our men rise up to being the men that we need to be. And I think if they do that, I know that when they do that, it's going to happen. You're going, yes. You ladies are going to see like a crew of men that give their hearts over to the Lord, and they are going to know what it means to pursue a woman the way that they did in the past, you know? Hmm. And we've just kind of lost track of that, but it's going to come back, because God is faithful and he's going to come through in our men. And yeah, this is the edit part.
I'm just wondering if you're maybe prepared for any marriage proposals on the Instagram.
Yeah.
From
all of our listeners are gonna be like, tell us about that, Philip.
Well, I deactivated my Instagram.
Oh, he did.
In preparation for this, you
do. Yeah, that's what it was.
So this is the thing. You say ready for marriage proposals. I truly feel like when our men step up and begin to do the pursuing, I think that you ladies have the easiest job, to be honest. It's hard to be patient and wait things out. I endure with that. I've had to do it as a man. But at the same time, if y'all just make sure that y'all are where y'all are in the Lord and make sure that you're just, hey, God, this is what you've told me to do. I'm going to do that. That when the time comes and when that man is prepared and ready, he will pursue you. He'll come after you. And there's not going to be doubts in your mind. You're not going to have to pursue him or kind of like present yourself. Okay, so the concept of presenting yourself. I know this is a huge go-to for women. I've been
in the church. Oh, I'm so excited for you to just totally blast this apart. I hate this.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
I can't wait. Like, just put yourself out there. And yeah, you know, and be the one that says the first thing, pursues the thing.
Oh, I thought you meant like brushing your hair, because I don't do that.
You can
washing your hair might be a good first step, though, right, Philip? It might help.
Anyway, sorry.
If you're European or I don't know. But go into that with the, I'm not talking about like starting up conversation or anything like that. Yeah. Like, you know, if you see a guy and you just want to say hi, say hi. But when it comes down to actually being like, oh, well, maybe he hasn't seen me and I need to, you know, work my way around somehow, stand in the right spot or, oh, well, I haven't sung for a while, so maybe I should, you know.
I've never done any of those.
So you're saying, like, don't do that.
I'm saying let your actions be for the Lord and let him carry you through life. Don't step out of your way to try and impress a man.
That's so good.
It's basically the concept of playing hard to get.
You know? See, we feel like that doesn't work in this generation.
But that's part of the generational curse.
Okay.
That's going back to that and where men are not where they need to be in the Lord, because if they were, they would be confident in who they are. That's what it comes back to, is men are not, and we're talking about all the way up to into 60s and 70s, yeah. Like I said, it's gone on for so long, and we've kind of trained ourselves to, oh, we don't have to do the pursuing because there's going to be enough women for me to choose from that are going to come to me, so to speak. And so this is me personally. There is something, I've had few occasions where I've done the pursuing over the past, since I was 26. That goes back to what you were saying, just being picky, you know, high standards kind of situation, but also just kind of being focused on what I was doing at the time and not really concerned with marriage, you know, at those points. But when I met somebody that I was like, I like this, she's Christian, at certain points, at certain places, that girl wasn't the Christian I would expect her to be now as a more of a mature man in Christ. But there was definitely something that I felt, that pursuit happening as a man. And it's a good feeling. It's a feeling that every man needs to go through to be able to really work for the woman. And as women, you'll find that if you allow the man to pursue you and truly put in the work, you're not going to have any doubts when he puts in the work of how he feels once you get to the wedding platform, you know, because you're going to know, I did this, and this, and I made him put in the work.
You know? There you go.
He had to really prove to me that I was the one that he wanted, and you're not going to have doubts of whether or not he's going to want to go after other women or be thinking about other women, because you saw the work that he put in to get to you. Because there are men that I will say, if you make them put in the work, they'll be like, and they'll move on. That right there is a clear sign, not the one for you, right. You know? So I've pursued on those few occasions, and at one point it was even a 5-year run, like, of just kind of waiting things out. And it didn't work out. And that brought me to a place where, okay, God, gotta get focused on you again. You've got stuff for me to do that I can't do in marriage.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, this does go back to the generational curse, like you were saying, but it's so, what you're saying is so counterculture.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
In every way, shape, and form. I hope my mouth wasn't like, what?
because we're such a flip-flop culture.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
But that's the thing, it's been such a gradual process.
Right, that we haven't noticed that it was happening.
Exactly. Yeah. We haven't noticed the changes that have taken place in our society because they were gradual. And to be honest, that's what the devil likes to do. He's like so big on deception, mm-hmm. and he knows that if he can make gradual changes in your life, mm-hmm. even as a strong Christian, if he can put subtle changes into your schedule, that eventually you'll get to the point where you've kind of drowned out and lost track of the focus on what you were supposed to be doing.
Shoo.
And I mean, I even see that just in our culture, like men will let a door just slam in my face, you know, and I'm like, come on, guys.
Okay, so I was at church on Sunday. I don't know this person, so obviously don't have to worry about throwing somebody under the bus. But there was a man sitting with a woman, and a girl comes up the stairs late, a young girl. I say young. She was probably 20s, you know.
That's super young.
I just wanted you to know that I wasn't talking about like a teenager or something like that. Gotcha. So anyway, a young girl running up the steps to find her seat. Gets almost to the top step and just kind of hits it. And she completely turns around in the fall. And the guy like kind of made a motion, and I thought he was going to help her up. So I didn't move because he was right there. Mm-hmm. And by the time I realized this dude isn't about to help this girl up, I was then moving, but then she had gotten up. And so when she sat down, I was like, I would have helped you up. I just thought he was about to do it, you know? But then I found myself looking at him and the girl, and I was like, you don't want to be with him if he's not willing to pick a woman up off the floor.
Right.
If he's not going to pick her up off the floor, he's not going to pick you up off the floor.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so...
That's true.
Such a good point.
So we need to, as men, learn to be gentlemen again. Jesus was a gentleman. Even if it's not somebody you're interested in. That's where I will... So I will say for guys where it becomes difficult to be a gentleman... is because culture has so found themselves not having gentlemen, as the women have not had gentlemen in so long. When you do see somebody being a gentleman, you think, oh, maybe he likes me because I don't
and
get this from...
And that's women for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas,
to where we go, you know, you
go there. Yeah.
But if you go back to the beginning of the 1900s, like every man was expected to treat a lady like
that's
a lady.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's where we as a full male culture have to get back to that. So, on that topic, ladies, your response when a man is being a gentleman, thank you, or... about your business.
Right. And go
about
your business. I know, usually I'm like...
Don't go, oh, you love me? Don't say that. Just say thank you.
No, okay, y'all don't like that.
Got that. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
But since you're doing it, now we're going to segue into our sharing corner.
That's my line.
I was setting you up.
That was my line.
Go ahead.
Now we'll segue into our sharing corner.
Humility.
Now we'll segue into our sharing corner.
Yeah, sure. Show us all.
That's better.
So, now I'm going to mess it all up. So, 2 weeks ago, my minister was talking about the point in scripture where it's a stormy night and Jesus is out on the water and he calls Peter out into the water to walk on the water. And so we always focus about how when he loses focus on Christ, he starts sinking. And is that when he says, oh, you little faith? Or did I just...
Sorry, my brain turned off for 1 second. Not that I wasn't hanging on your
totally
every word.
Listening to me, but... Is that when he says that? No.
No, that was when the stormy gales, I think, and he was sleeping in the boat.
Meredith's right.
Sleeping in the boat. Okay. he talks specifically about how, you know, we focus a lot on how he took his eyes off Christ and he started to sink. And he goes, but how awesome was it that for a moment he was walking on water? Like, we never think about the moment that he was fully focused on Christ and fully experiencing what he wanted, what Christ wanted Peter to do, and was to just be drawn into him. And so in my life, I've allowed fear a lot to dictate choices that I don't make because I'm worried about either embarrassing myself or failing, or, you know, maybe it won't be a huge success. And then not recognizing that even if it's just for a moment, if I am living out what Christ has called me to do and following the path that he's leading me on, that for a moment I get to walk on water, and how awesome will that be that I get to have that opportunity, even if it's just for a second, that I get to fully embrace that.
So
that's
good.
That is awesome.
That's really good, awesome. Jerry.
And you know, I started a little muddy, but I got there
eventually. I love it. Well, and you know, I mean, this is not to be recorded.
I'm going to turn it off.
Well, I don't want to, you know.
No, keep going.
Well, no, but.
That's your sign to let it keep running.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. This is probably going to be something really good.
Oh, yeah.
Just hold your horses.
Another mind blown. But it's, but my favorite part of that story has always been that Jesus came and picked him up out of the water. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So there he was. He realized where he was. He became afraid. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was right there.
Oh, so amen beautiful. And God bless.
Amen and God bless.
I love it.
Do you love it?
I do.
Straight, short, to the point. Please join us next time for the continuation of our conversation with Philip. Don't miss it.
Nailed it.